Welcome, passengers. This is the pre-boarding announcement for the podcast From the Runway Up. Today's flight will introduce you to the world of aviation in East Tennessee. So fasten your safety belts and return your tray tables to their upright position. And in 3, 2, 1.
Hello From the Runway Up listeners, I'm Caitlin along with
Becky,
and today we are talking about vegetation management, which is a very fancy way of saying mowing and keeping the airfield and all of our lawn up to par. And what we're going to do is we have three very special guests this month. We have Richard Good, he is the airport maintenance superintendent. We have Rob Wilson, he is the airfield maintenance worker, and then Travis Gardner, vice president of operations. And this is Travis's actually second time being our special guest.
Yeah, and I'm going to correct you, Caitlin. It's Rob Wilson, airfield maintenance worker extraordinaire.
Nice.
Thank you, Travis.
We're getting off to a great start. Yeah.
Specialist.
What got me was vegetation management.
You like that?
I did. You know, what is that? Why would somebody listening to our podcast right now want to know more about vegetation management at an airport?
You know, I'll lead off on that. Vegetation management is the technical term that the industry recognizes. There's a lot of forms of vegetation management in public utilities and airports and municipal maintenance departments. So it can go from sports fields management all the way to the right-of-way underneath power lines, trimming the trees and mowing the grass. And airports kind of set in the middle. We do some what's known as ornamental horticulture, and it's our lawn and our shrubs and all the other landscaping, both greenscaping and hardscaping that we do at the airport for aesthetic purposes, to put the airport environment in context. And then the other piece that we do is it's pure vegetation management. It's on the airfield areas. We mow and maintain in some manner or another, and I'll pass that to Richard in just a moment. It's well over 1,000 acres. It boils down to how you measure what gets mowed on what frequency. In general, we have a master plan for vegetation management, and everything that we own, which is around 3,500 acres, is divided up into 5 zones. And so the top zone, or zone 1, which is most important, and it's maintained for aesthetic purposes, and it, depending on how much it rains and when it rains and what our appearance goals are, it may get mowed twice a week. And it's high-end institutional or campus-type lawn areas.
Where is Zone 1?
Zone 1 primarily are the lawn areas surrounding the passenger terminal.
When you drive down Alcoa Highway or in front of the terminal, it's the ones that are so beautifully mowed that are the streaks that people comment on all the time.
Yes.
The stripes that are in the grass, the trees, the blooming flowers, it's all of that.
That's correct. It's the areas that take the most care. And then Zone 5 may be some frontier type areas where we may mow it once a year, or we may only remove dead trees that are a hazard. But those are areas well outside the airfield. They may be on adjoining properties. And then of course, Zones 2, 3, and 4 set somewhere in between that. Typically our airfield areas are Zone 2, and their mowed aesthetics is a minor part, but the main reason that we're mowing those at a different frequency is, one, regulatory compliance. We need to keep the vegetation down and in control, and it's primarily a wildlife deterrent, because as you mow and you care for areas, wildlife at an airport, it's always been a concern. It came to the forefront with Captain Sullenberger and Miracle on the Hudson, but we do mow those airfield areas as a wildlife deterrent. Wildlife, the critters, they don't like to be around people. Mm-hmm. And when we're mowing it, it's activity. It also changes their environment. It makes it less appealing to them. So our hope is that we never harm or harass the wildlife. We just make another place away from the airport more appealing to them introducing that activity.
So you're making it less attractive for those types of animals
come
to the airfield where we have aircraft and things going on. And that's for safety of our passengers. So those programs are in place. And you mentioned the Miracle on the Hudson, which involved birds up in New York with an aircraft. If people don't know, that's something you could Google. Really interesting story. Movie out by it with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. And although this might sound like a concept that's very new, or very advanced for our podcast listeners, this is a technique adopted by airports all over the nation. And although I'm going to say these two guys are experts at executing and carrying out that plan, the plan is developed in close concert with a whole range of wildlife biologists and plant and agricultural specialists. We get a tremendous amount of support from the U.S. Department of Agriculture as well as the new University of Tennessee Ag Department to develop this plan, and then they help us monitor it as well.
So, Richard, Travis mentioned that we have, 1,000?
Plus acres.
How many people on your staff does it take to manage that?
We have, I do it all.
Hey, remember, it's extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
We got 16 full-time staff and 6 part-time staff that manages all the vegetation. It takes a lot of planning and coordination. We have to monitor the weather. We look out a week ahead, and then we start planning. In addition to the planning, though, we work closely with operations department, because there's certain guidelines we follow with the FAA, and as Travis mentioned earlier about the wildlife, the FAA governs the height of our grass. And, you know, we maintain between 6 and 14 inches, and that some birds don't like to land on certain heights of grass. That doesn't feel good on their feathers
on their landing.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, if you let it grow, it'll attract rodents, which it'll attract bird of prey to come in, to get the rodents. Also, water. We don't like water on the airfield. That attracts any small birds. Love to lie in the water and have bird baths.
Yeah.
And as you know, when it rains, worms grow out of concrete.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Especially in this part of the country.
Yeah. And it just looks a lot nicer, too. I mean, I assume when you're landing, I've landed at a lot of different airports, and I like landing on ours. The grass looks so nice. Mm-hmm. We keep it really well taken care of, and I've landed at other airports and we see trash and everything out there. I just think it looks really aesthetically pleasing when you keep it up.
It does. We do get lots of compliments, especially on the front lawn with the lines
the front,
and the straps.
Yeah, exactly.
It just looks really professionally done, and you all trained to do that, and you have the equipment that you need to be able to make it look nice, but at the same time be effective and be, like you said, back to your scheduling of everything that needs to go on. You have to get that done, and you need the equipment to be able to do it.
And speaking of that, what kind of equipment do we use? How much equipment do we have?
Well, we currently have 6 tractors that range in 70 horsepower to 185, and our mowing equipment ranges in width from 15 feet up to 26 feet, being our largest rotary mower, which is known as a bush hog.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit bigger than our listeners, you know, use at home. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Imagine mowing your lawn with a mower that's 26 feet wide. You probably do it in one.
That's my whole backyard.
If we get 4 tractors out there and we start at the edge of the runway, we can do 70 feet in one pass.
Wow.
So, but like we do have up to 1,000 acres, so
right.
It's really efficient.
And in addition to that, we have 16 zero turn mowers, which we use to mow around over 150 airfield signs.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I don't know, a couple hundred lights that are airfield lighting.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful. You know, in my backyard, it's, you know, baseballs or softballs you're picking up. But you all have a really delicate lighting system and signage system that is necessary for the airplanes to come in and out of our airport. We can't damage those without having an operational impact.
Correct.
When I'm mowing my lawn at home, I'm very calm. You know, I've got my earphones on and listening to music. When I'm on the airfield,
or a podcast,
or this one.
Yeah, I do.
Now this will be your favorite listening pleasure.
Now, we need to hear from our listeners. If anybody listens to this podcast while they're mowing their lawn,
we're not allowed to do that on the airfield.
Yeah.
it can be very stressful on the airfield. Right now we have one runway open, which means we have to mow while there's aircraft landing and taking off. And so we have to monitor our tower radios, and we also have our in-home communications. So we're listening to 2 radios. You have to watch for aircraft. The tower works with us really well. whenever we see a plane taking off or landing, we just move back, let them do their stuff. Now, we can sit there up to an hour sometimes when it gets really busy, just waiting to get back to start mowing.
I never thought about that, mm-hmm. that you all are in communication with the tower, not just, you know, vehicles and stuff.
Yeah. And not to mention, we have to monitor two frequencies. We have to monitor ground frequency and tower frequency, because we need to hear the planes that are taxiing out, because we're mowing mm-hmm. beside the taxiways, too. And we have to hear the aircraft that are approaching.
And they're talking to each other.
And we're talking to each other, trying to coordinate everything. So we usually have four tractors out there and maybe up to eight small mowers at the same time. So.
My goodness.
And it's a pretty interesting thing to if you understand it and watch it, you understand the complexity of it. If the layperson just observes it, it looks like people driving tractors around mm-hmm. with airplanes. But if you have a greater depth of understanding, you begin to realize it's like Cirque du Soleil or a ballet.
A tractor ballet.
It's very, very carefully choreographed. That's exactly
you'll
right.
You'll see, well, the lead tractor, if he pulls off because an aircraft's coming in, all the other tractors are watching. They all pull off at the same
it's
time.
It's like synchronized.
It's like swimming. Synchronized yeah. mowing. It's pretty
or
neat,
air show.
We need a time-lapse photographer out there doing that. Yeah. That would be so cool to see you all.
Well, so what training? I mean, what background do you have, Rob?
In aviation, well, as far as airport goes, I started here fresh. I mean, I have a bit of an aviation background. I worked on helicopters for 15 years in Canada, and I moved down here.
So that's what your accent is Canadian?
It is Canadian. But I'll let you know, I'm going for my citizenship test next Wednesday.
Yay!
So,
finally!
So I've worked at a lot of different airports, but in the mechanic capacity, not actually working at the airport for mm-hmm. the airport authority. So moving here and starting at this airport it's been exciting since day one. You learn something every day. And just mm-hmm. the training programs here are fantastic. They don't let you get on a piece of equipment until you're well trained. Mm-hmm. And we cross train on all our equipment, so everybody knows how to operate everything. So that's pretty well. I mean, it's like, and you go out there and do it. Just do it. So.
Well, and Richard, you mentioned weather. You know, we worry about our own, you know, our own lines. Oh gosh, I can't get out to mow it and it's gotten so tall. And we have a requirement, you mentioned. So how do you mitigate the weather's interference in our requirements to stay up with what we're supposed to be doing?
Well, normally we just wait till it's dry enough to get out there, because the runway safety area, that's an area off the pavement out so far that we normally have to maintain, and we maintain radio contact with the tower constantly when we're in that area. And that's the area Rob was talking about that we got to move out of when an aircraft is approaching or landing. And we try not to get in there when it's wet, because we don't want to rut it up. We just create more damage. We normally just have to wait it out.
And that the technique that Richard mentioned is if you look back over time and you go back 10 and 20 years, this is an evolution. So in our past practice, we would have one or two tractors. They would be assigned almost exclusively to the airfield. And it was not unlike painting the Golden Gate Bridge, where they would start on one end of the airfield, they'd mow all day long, every day, until they got finished. And then guess what? When they got finished, it was time to go back to the other end and start over. Well, now, everything is so concentrated. We have gone from dual runway to single runway operation during our capital construction program. That, coupled with the demands of being able to take the recommendations from the wildlife biologist, and we need to mow at certain times for certain grasses to do things like manage the seed head production so that seed heads are not a food source for certain wildlife. So now it's like NASCAR pit crew operation, where when the weather's right and the grasses is in need and the moisture's just right to get out there, they're piling on and mowing everything in less than 2 days, which is quite remarkable. It takes very, very close management and coordination, and that's just I wasn't making it up when I said Rob Wilson, airfield maintenance worker, extraordinaire. And Richard has developed all these practices over time that have led to success.
Well, we talked a lot about the growing season of grass. That doesn't always impact us year-round. So what are the seasons like with vegetation management?
Basically, the winter's slow. That's when growth stops, I guess, end of October, beginning of November. But that gives us time to go out and fix anything in the runway safety areas that, as far as, you don't have to have any potholes or any growth, because if aircraft goes off a runway, it has to be very smooth. So that gives us time to go out there and fix all those ruts and things we found and discovered while we were mowing during the summer. That I'd say that I guess our first mowing usually again in the spring is about March, so it's a long season for us.
So March to November?
Something like that, and it depends on how much rain we get during the summer. Sometimes we can go a month without mowing if it's a dry summer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this year is not the case, but
yeah,
it's been raining quite a bit around here.
I'd say every second week on the airfield this summer.
Yeah.
And we do make a large financial investment on our front lawn areas, our priority one areas, that for aesthetics. We actually have 3 irrigation wells installed so that if we hit drought and dry months in July and August, typically, we can supplement what the rain that God gives us with the rain that we create ourselves with an irrigation system.
Hmm. I think we've experienced some of that when we were out doing the trash bash a few years ago. We found the irrigation system by mistake. we helped to water the grass that time around.
You know, I get questions about the stripes on the front.
Yeah.
So I'll tell the secret to that. And it's,
okay.
Uh-oh. It's actually a roller on the deck.
Is it?
And it pushes the grass all one way, and then you come back the other way, it pushes it the other. And that's all it is. You can use an old piece of tire.
And do that.
And do that with a deck.
So you're just seeing that at home.
You're just seeing the blade of grass reflect the light in a different way.
Yeah.
So when the grass is all laying in the same direction, it's more reflective than grass laying in the other direction.
So how long did it take to figure that out? I mean, how long have we been doing that?
Oh, that's probably been going on for several years. We just adopted it probably 12 years ago, just to see what kind of response we would get from the public, and it's been very good.
Yeah. Well, and you all continue to train. You mentioned that a little bit earlier. What kind of things do you all learn about? What are the things that you're keeping your attention on in regards to vegetation management? Easy for me to say.
Well, we have annual wildlife training, which is why we do vegetation management. We do tractor safety training, maintenance, anything really to do working on the airfield.
You have all your herbicide credentials as
yes,
well.
Yes, I do. I have herbicide and...
Your what?
Herbicide.
Oh, okay.
So,
because,
I knew.
We can't have weeds coming up along the edge of the runways and taxiways. So,
to use any of the products in an industrial or commercial setting like this, you need a license. And so most commercial landscaping companies, they'll have one person that has the license, and then everyone else works under their guidance. Well, we've got some very, very well qualified and very motivated and dedicated folks. So we don't have everyone, but we have 5 folks on our staff that have taken the initiative to go and get that credential. And so they're licensed applicators for those products.
And that's above and beyond what they're required to do. Yeah. They do that because they want to be better at what they
provides, do. Yeah, and it provides an opportunity for advancement.
And we do formal training as well as a tractor mower operator safety training. It's called TMOST, and we do that through the University of Tennessee's TTAP program.
Hmm. And this is just one of many things that the operations department does. So this is just a portion of your responsibility during this season anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm not mowing, I'm doing pavement repair, which is any repairs on the runways, taxiways, anywhere aircraft movements are present. And right now we have to do it at night because we're down the wrong runway and we can't do it when the aircraft are taking off and landing. But we have many jobs. In winter we'll do a lot of fence work because we have, 11 miles of fencing around the airport. And that takes a lot of maintenance also. So we have lots of things we do. And then there's always the snowstorms.
Yeah.
And there's an economic consideration to this too. So far, we've talked about the vegetation management that our own staff does. So they focus on our most important areas for visual appearance, as well as our most important areas for both regulatory compliance and wildlife mitigation. They mow around the airplanes, and they mow around the front lawn areas. That's only about 30 or 40% of all the mowing. We contract out to commercial landscaping companies the other 50 or 60% on all the ancillary properties surrounding the airport. So that keeps us efficient. The analogy that I use is it would not be efficient if we did everything all the time with our own staff, nor would it be safe and effective to outsource everything. Mm-hmm. And so the analogy I talk is everybody gets up in the morning or at night sometimes, and they drive to work. Well, how many landscaping trucks pulling a trailer with mowers do you see
a lot right now
on your way to work? That's exactly right. So yes, we are a quasi-governmental entity. Why would we want to compete with the free market when there's so many folks already out there willing and able to outsource this commodity of mowing in areas where we're able to outsource it?
You don't want to forget our mechanics either. They maintain all of our equipment for us.
Oh yeah.
And we do all that
in-house. We have 2 full-time mechanics, 2 part-time mechanics, and they maintain over 200 pieces of equipment.
So. Well, if our listeners like that kind of talk, that's something that we can handle on one of our upcoming podcasts, because I'd love to talk to them about the different types of equipment and training they have to be prepared to repair for us to keep us going, because our operation's 24 hours a day and people depend on us to keep the airport open.
Podcast listeners, please take your seats and prepare for landing.
Well, yeah, and that's a great segue, because not only do they maintain all of the equipment, they also maintain our fleet, all of our cars and our fire trucks. And actually, next month, we are going to talk about our public safety department here at the airport. And so we will be looking forward to that. So thank you all so much for coming to our podcast studio. We really appreciate it.
Painful.
No, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Good.
Good. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we hope you tune in next month.